It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harrison for Celeste Headlee. A debate is going on over the operation of immigration detention centers. Georgia's Stewart Detention Center in Lumpkin is one of the largest in the country. In a letter to the prison and the private prison company running the facility, the Southern Poverty Law Center says detainees are waiting hours to see their attorney. SPLC attorney Lisa Graybill spoke with WABE in Atlanta.
Attorneys have been unable to get to speak with their clients because they were kept waiting in the waiting room, and their client's moment in court, you know, came and went while the attorney was still outside.
Graybill says Stewart's practice of banning electronic devices adds to the delays. But ICE says the detention facility is in full compliance with federal law and agency policy, and that attorneys should schedule appointments in advance. The SPLC says it's put ICE and the private prison company Core Civic on notice for the barriers it's identified. But the group hasn't filed a lawsuit. In December, a U.S. Department of Homeland Security subcommittee recommended continuing the use of private immigrant detention facilities with greater oversight. A Homeland Security Advisory Council, however, didn't agree with the report's recommendation regarding private detention centers and said that they should be phased out. My colleague, Celeste Headlee, spoke more about this last year with Azadeh Shashahani. She's the legal and advocacy director for Project South. That's a nonprofit group dedicated to social justice issues.
So let's go first to the advisory council that said these privately run facilities should be phased out. What was their reasoning?
Well, so the subcommittee came out with a report first, saying that there needs to be better oversight of these facilities, but because of the rising population of detained immigrants, the government has no choice but to rely on privatized detention facilities for now.
That's the subcommittee that wants to continue using them.
Right. And then the report went to the advisory committee to the Department of Homeland Security, and there was really a stunning outcome. So 3/4 of the members of the advisory committee decided to adopt the recommendations on better oversight of facilities generally, but they decided to oppose the recommendation of the report on basically continuing with privatized detention. They felt that the government needs to really make an effort to phase out privatized detention facilities.
And why?
Because of, the record of abuse by private prison corporations, because they don't actually substantially save on cost, and because, as a Department of Justice report had indicated earlier, there is shortcomings on a variety of fronts, such as safety and security in facilities run by private corporations.
Now, according to the USA Today, a spokesman for the private detention contractor Core Civic said this, quote, the company supports the needs of our government partner while providing a safe, humane, and appropriate environment for those entrusted to our care, end quote. And another private detention firm, GEO Group, says it has a long history of, quote, providing culturally responsive, safe, and humane environments that meet the non-penal needs of those individuals entrusted to the care of ICE. That's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, end quote. What are the abuses that bothered the advisory council that they said they had strong evidence for?
Well, so, there have been uprisings at facilities run by private corporations, including two hunger strikes here, protesting the conditions.
Here in Georgia.
Here in Georgia, at the Stewart Detention Center in summer of 2014 and fall of 2015, there were two hunger strikes and protests by immigrant detainees at the Stewart Detention Center, protesting the conditions, including reports of maggots being found in the food and the treatment that they were receiving by the guards. So that's just one example here in Georgia. Across the country, you have situations where the food is sometimes not edible or is not enough. There is not enough safety or security for the immigrants or for the employees at that facilities, because, again, the corporation is trying to maximize profits and cut corners.
How long does the average immigrant spend in one of these? Once they arrive at the center, how long are they usually there for?
It depends. It depends whether they're fighting their case or they have already agreed to be deported. if they have agreed to be deported, it could be a couple months or longer. If they're fighting their case, you know, they're afraid of going back to their home country because they could be tortured or they could face persecution, it could be years. And so, because of the conditions at these facilities, some immigrants might actually sign away their rights and decide to return back despite the risk that they face because they don't want to, you know, stay for years at one of these detention centers with the poor conditions that we just talked about.
What are the, if an immigrant arrives at one of these centers, what rights do they have and how are they different from an inmate who's an American citizen at, say, a prison or private prison?
So, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that these immigration detention centers are civil institutions. You know, the purpose is not really to punish anyone. The purpose is just to keep people until they're hearing. But the way these detention centers are run is actually more of a penal nature, you know, meant to punish people. There are, again, reports of verbal abuse by some of the guards. Sometimes the sexual abuse has been documented. The hygiene issue, the work program where the basically immigrants at the facility are doing the work that the corporation would have had to hire regularly paid employees at regular wages. Immigrants at these facilities are performing sometimes in unsafe working conditions for between $1 to $4 a day.
So there are a few big questions now. The first is whether or not the recommendations of the Advisory Council were going to be adopted, whether their recommendation that privately run centers be phased out, whether that would actually occur. Let's deal with the first one, and whether or not there's an intention to actually phase out these privately run centers.
Well, that is the hope. There are unfortunate signals coming from Trump in terms of his affinity for privatized corporations, I mean, privatized detention centers, and also his stated intent to crack down on immigrants and potentially deport 2 to 3 million immigrants, which if that is actually carried out would mean that the population of detained immigrants would rise just astronomically.
Yeah. Okay, so this leaves us where? I mean, for example, the Stewart Detention in Lumpkin, it is a huge facility. Are they just sort of waiting to find out what happens?
Well, you know, stock prices rose a lot after the election results.
Stock prices for privately run prisons.
Exactly. For example, for CCA and the GEO group after the election results were announced just because they could see what was coming. But, you know, I think we have to continue to push on this front. I think the recommendation from the advisory committee is very positive that we need to continue to build on and really communicate the message to the new administration that it makes no sense either on the safety or security or human rights or cost front to continue to deal with private corporations for running of our prisons.
We only have about a minute left. So without getting into the minute legal details, does the recommendation of the Advisory Council actually give immigrants who are in one of these centers a legal standard to argue in court?
Unfortunately not, but it sets a good precedent.
That's Azadeh Shashahani of the group Project South, speaking with my colleague Celeste Headley.